Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America. Kentucky Barracuda. The story of Parker Harton French is being called the Catch Me If You Can story of the mid-1800s. Parker Harton French was certainly an adventurer and entrepreneur who engaged in elaborate, bold, and ambitious exploits, but he was also a magnificent con man, a barracuda. Those who followed his exploits were variously exasperated, captivated by his audacity and nervy cheek, or humored by his latest escapade. The author of the book is Emmett Joseph Joe Goodbody Jr., a retired United States Army colonel and a corporate leader with a bachelor's degree from the University of Nebraska, Omaha, and a master's in logistics management from Florida Institute of Technology. Now, his great-grandfather was a victim of Parker Harton French as a passenger on the fraudster's California-bound Gold Rush expedition. The adventure faltered in mismanagement and collapsed in deception, fraud, and forgery. And Joe Goodbody, author of Kentucky Barracuda, Parker Harton French, is our guest on This Week in America. Joe, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Rick. Appreciate it.
I love this story. I can't believe I haven't heard about Parker before this. What a character. And you run all the emotions as you're reading about him in Joe's book, Kentucky Barracuda. How long have you been writing, first of all? You do such a wonderful job of bringing Parker to life. We feel like we're there watching his exploits. How long have you been writing?
Well, I've been writing almost all my life in terms of professional studies and analysis and reports, but never anything to this degree. So this is my first book. So it was interesting getting all that research done, figuring out how to do the research, figuring out how to archive it, and eventually get it into the written form, which was quite a trip. So
I bet it was, and especially with the family connection there that we'll talk about. But how long did it take you from start to finish to write this book, Kentucky Barracuda?
It was about 6 years. A great majority of that was in research. And once I figured out how to archive everything and start getting it into outline form and things like that, it came together fairly quickly in a matter of 5-6 months, I guess, after I had gotten a publisher, and they worked with me to get it into written form.
So. The book, by the way, is available at now the website is parkerhfrench.com. You'll find the book at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, ProIslePublishing.com. We'll give you all that throughout the program. And it's on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. What made you write this book? What was it that really interested you to the point where there's a story here to tell, and I'm going to tell it?
Well, as you said, my great-grandfather was scammed by Parker French, and family lore had him being a very smart, skeptical, very tough guy. And so somewhat strange to those of us in the family that found out that he had been scammed by somebody we didn't even know about. And so I started researching and found out he wasn't alone. He was in great company with foreign leaders and prominent politicians and army officers, including Major James Longstreet at the time, who had later of Confederate fame, and frontier toughs and guys like Vanderbilt, prominent business icons, and then just common citizens as well. So.
What an amazing story. And as you were doing research, I read a little bit, and you've said that he was really viewed as an inconsequential figure because he was really sort of misunderstood or the information wasn't there. Talk a little bit about that, because he when you understand him, which you do, he really is an intriguing character, isn't he?
Yeah, I've often said to people I've talked to, I'm not too sure this book could have been written before the digital age. So there's been a lot of work, ever since the computers, got going on digitization of archives, digitization of library materials, the presidential libraries, national archives, and also the wonders of digitized newspapers and contemporary newspapers really helped outline this guy in terms that could be written about. a lot of the stuff that I found out was not in any other history book. Although some of the stuff it was written about in various books was almost like at the paragraph or sentence or even a footnote about the man. And some of it was, as you can find out when you have the access to the digitized records, some of it was just flat wrong. So as I built the book, it was interesting to see what can be done in this age now.
Joe Goodbody is our guest on the program. He is the book author of the book, Kentucky Barracuda. The book is available at the story of Parker H. French, who lived from 1826 through 1878. Book available at Amazon, all of the usual places. Links on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and you'll get information on Parker and information on buying the book at parkerhfrench.com. When he started off on all these escapades, I don't know what we want to call them, but he started off on these, were any of these legit in the beginning and just went off the rails, or was he sort of deceptive from the very beginning, or a combination of both?
I think it's a combination of both. I think some of the stuff that his early escapades into business environments. You know, I think he was probably a brilliant businessman and a brilliant manager and understander of people. And so he would set himself up in things, but I think he sometimes just got bored, and then or the business enterprise failed, or he saw it failing, so he would just walk away and leave in the lurch his partners, betrayed partners, and swindle creditors, and everybody else on the trail, and he was gone off to some other adventure. So,
what was it about him? You mentioned your grandfather was a savvy businessman. He conned not your grandfather, but Parker conned world leaders, business tycoons, military people. What was it about him that he would go from one to the other successfully exploiting them? What was it about his personality, his charisma, his charm?
Exactly that. He was very charismatic. I patterned him after a model of Machiavelli, and being able to not only charm people, but just absolutely convince people that his new endeavor was an opportunity they couldn't miss. So if he found out that you had a nickel, he was going to get that nickel. And if he found out you had a second nickel, he was going to get that second nickel too. It was amazing how many people that he conned multiple times. I called them serial suckers. And so, but he had the way with him of getting out of things and sometimes life-threatening things. And ultimately, he would resort to things like threats of lawsuits and other things that he could do to you if you just didn't be quiet. And ultimately, a lot of people would say in newspapers they were surprised he was still alive, that he didn't get taken out by some victim that was still irritated at him.
And there were so many rumors that you talk about in the book of his death and caused by somebody that he wronged along the way. And what's somewhat ironic, he ended up just dying a natural death.
Right. Yeah, he was he was reported dead by newspapers five different times. So he was twice by gunfights, twice he was executed in Mexico, once by hanging and once by a firing squad. And he was killed in Nicaragua. All of them, within weeks were shown to be untrue. And so he was this character, almost a feline character, kept on landing on his feet. But he had a way with him. He would talk people out of these very dangerous situations.
Let's talk about the early years, which you focus on. As a runaway kid, he fought the British in the British Navy in the First Opium War. 22 years old, a commissioned merchant, and later built the first ocean-going ship going in the upper Mississippi. He was an ambitious, intelligent man, wasn't he?
Absolutely. He was given the best of life. He, as far as I could determine, he was growing up on as a young kid on a struggling farm. His mother died, and his very famous, very prominent uncle, his namesake, Parker Hardin, took him in. And then I think that started him off on his way to life. The Hardins had were all famous Kentucky politicians and military men and statesmen. And so he was well framed to be have success in life. And you could choose either a very good life or head on the wrong trail. And he chose in many ways going head on the wrong trail.
Again and again. It's amazing the story and his persistence. Just when you think he can't outdo this, he outdoes it with somebody else. And it's all in Joe's book, Kentucky Barracuda, the notorious scoundrel and delightful rogue of antebellum and Civil War America, Parker Hardin French, 1826 through 1878. Book available wherever books are sold. Amazing stories here. What was this like for you in writing this book and going through this whole process? Has this tamed your monster so far?
Pretty much, yeah. It was interesting as I was. My first intent was to just get a good story to add into my great grandfather story, but I found out that it was just more. Bigger than that, much bigger than that. And but my wife would wander down to my, what she called my war room, and she'd find me laughing or chuckling over something that I just found out, or being able to explain to her that, I just found something. Here you did this again. So it was an interesting writing experience and a research experience.
What is the ultimate goal with this book? It's a really well-written story. What do you hope the takeaway is when we read your book about Parker H. French?
I think for the subject themselves, there's people in history that get missed, I think, and get set aside and thought of as inconsequential. And this is an example of one of those people that when previous historians, I don't think, had the access to what I was given access to. So I think there might be all kinds of these kinds of people around that are interesting to history, more consequential than people have formerly thought. And it might be a model on how to go after some of these guys that did more in history than previous thought.
It's just so well written, and the book really brings the scoundrel alive. I'll call him a scoundrel. Other people may call him something different, but what a character. It's a character. We'll leave it at that. I think that's the universal term we could all agree with. Parker H. French and his website, parkerhfrench.com. That's Joe's website. Book available wherever books are sold. Are you working on a sequel, another edition of this book?
Well, I'm thinking about that. I'm trying to figure out if there's a there. And whether different things that he did in the book and how my family interacted with him, whether that deserves another book. And there's a couple of different things that he did, especially during the Civil War, that might generate another book. But that's yet to be seen, because it's that's a lot of additional work in National Archives and area libraries, presidential libraries, to see if there's enough there for another book. But I'm definitely looking at it.
Any other story ideas, any other people that you would like to research?
Well, one of the things that he was jailed in Fort Warren, Boston Harbor during the Civil War. And I don't know that a book has ever been written about all of the political prisoners and Confederate folks that from the Confederate Army, Confederate military that were captured. But there's a lot of information in National Archives and various digital newspapers that may come around here sometime soon.
What did this do for the memory of your great-grandfather? Well, how did that change in reading? And it's not like, well, I can't believe he got taken by this guy, because he was one of many that got taken by this guy. What impact did this have on the memory of your great-grandfather?
Well, my family themselves was pretty surprised that he was that way. And he was real. My great grandfather was really young when he was exposed to Parker French. He was like 22 at the time when he was scammed by Parker French. So I think that was a big reason he became later in life very tough and very skeptical, and not one to deal with lightly. The other thing is that it's on the other side of the story. The other side of history is the family of Parker French, the descendants of Parker French.
Ooh, interesting.
I was able to contact many of them, looking for making sure that they didn't have something more positive on Parker French and in something in Bibles or family documents. But they all said they knew that he was had been a scoundrel. And I became personal friends with some of them, where had lunch with them and different interactions. So it's an interesting thing where his descendants become very, very good citizens, you know, and they knew that their ancestor existed, but they very, very nice and great people that I found. So.
And didn't rush to his defense, which is interesting as well. Joe Goodbody, the author of Kentucky Barracuda, is our guest on the program. A couple minutes late, left in the program, talk about some of the wide range of activity. I mean, he was part of the Gold Rush expedition, as we talked about, an invasion of Cuba, a paramilitary hero in Mexico, a lawyer, a legislator, a journalist. He really, and depending on the mode of transportation at the time, he was involved in that as well. He really was all over the place and adapted very easily for the next scam, it seems like, didn't he?
Yes, and I think the technology was obviously developing a lot at the time, and
yes.
the nascent telegraph was even in use, and the national laws were sort of left up. You know, the laws were left up sort of the state, so he could go from region to region and be ahead of the head of the news, and by the time they caught up with him, he was off to something else. During his fraud and forgeries of his Gold Rush expedition, there were people scammed all the way along the line, all the way from New York to El Paso. And by the time the news caught up to him, he could always explain that away to his new friends. And I can't believe that, those businessmen I made a deal with back in New York are now, not doing what they said
yes.
they were going to do. So it was interesting. The other thing that it was interesting, the difference between what editors thought in newspapers. The subtitle of the book, Notorious Scoundrel and Delightful Rogue, came right out of period newspapers, where there were editors calling him Notorious Scoundrel. There's another editor calling him a Delightful Rogue within a period of about 3 months. So I picked that up as it's sort of the theme of the book, that how that described his life.
The book is so well written, and what a remarkable story of Parker Harton French. The book is Kentucky Barracuda, The Notorious Scoundrel and Delightful Rogue. The book is available wherever books are sold. Boy, this has to be a screenplay. I mentioned in the beginning, this has been called the Catch Me If You Can story of the mid-1800s. Of course, Catch Me If You Can was a very successful motion picture. Any talk about a screenplay with this? This guy would, I could see this coming to life in the big screen.
Actually, there's a screenplay is being written now. So very, very fortunate in running into people that are believe in it and think it might work in the film industry, both as a drama, but also as a narrated biography or narrated history. So
yeah, there are a lot of the crime channels out there that would love something like this. What a remarkable story to tell. I got a minute or so left here. What's this been like for you, going back, doing the research, and that had to be tedious, and hour after hour doing the research, piecing this together, writing it, now out there marketing and promoting. What's this experience been like in writing Kentucky Barracuda?
Everything along the way was absolutely a new experience for me. So I had to learn just simple things like how do you archive all the different references and getting them in some kind of order that makes sense to be able to use them, be able to extract and use them. So then I ran into an interesting book by two Australian ladies. It's basically called How to Write History That People Will Actually Read. And they gave me a lot of good ideas on how to get it categorized in and actual writing the story. And they sort of detailed it as you got to do it as almost like a fictional work, you know, character development and theme and,
yes,
and some kind of discipline all through the book. So that's what I hope to have done. And It was, and you said tedious. I don't think I ever thought of it as tedious. It was a fun thing to do every day, and finally find something new and how to figure out. And the complexity of his life. Sometimes there were three or four different stories about the same story, and so I tried to put each one of those in the book and show that people thought of him differently. So it was.
Well, you do that, and it's interesting you're talking about it, and the advice from the authors of making it into a story, because you've done that. It's just not a history book where on this date this happened and anyone here. You make the story come alive. You make us understand. Parker, we feel like we're there. We know what he's thinking, what he's doing. All of the characters that your great-grandfather, they all come alive in telling the story. The book is Kentucky Barracuda, the notorious scoundrel and delightful rogue, Parker Harton French, the author Joe Goodbody, with us on the program. Joe, it's been a pleasure. Good luck in turning this into a screenplay of some kind. Hopefully we can chat again. Thank you for being with us and sharing this remarkable story of Parker H. French with us today.
Thank you very much.
It has been our pleasure. Joe Goodbody. The website for Joe is parkerhfrench.com. Great information on the website as well. You'll find the book at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the usual places, proilpublishing.com as well, and all this information and more on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You are listening to This Week in America, and we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.